Let's go ahead and get to our topic this morning. This is a continuation of the topic we've started, lesson three, and it's the power of parents influencing part two, all right? Power of a parent's influence. We had part one last couple weeks, and this is part two of it as it continues. So turn your Bibles again, please, to 2 Timothy. We've been looking at Lois and Eunice, grandmother and mother of Timothy, and how we're using that as an illustration and an example how parents can have power in the sense of influence. And I think it's a tool that God has given to us parents to use, and let us capitalize it and let us use it for the sake of our children and their upbringing. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 12, all right? And this is the study and curriculum we found from Brother Paul Chappell and a bunch of other guys that he collaborates with and writes these different curriculums for our Sunday school. Making home work, all right, in this very, very anti-Christ-spirited society, dark society. It seems like a father is under attack. The idea of being a father, the idea of being a mother, the idea of being a man and a woman is being blurred. And so much attack on the family unit founded by God. It's an institution, I believe, that was founded by God and is just being an attack, as is the church that helps these family and enhances and helps them. And we'll find that out here. We're going to talk about the influence of the church, how the church plays a role in the individuals in the church, other brothers, other sisters in Christ that can help us as we raise our children, all right? And so it's just all under attack. And so these are very dear thing to us as Christians. We believe in the Lord. We believe in God. We believe in his book. And his book teaches and teaches principles regarding influence and how as parents we have a part in influencing our children. Let's just read 2 Timothy here if you're there, chapter number 3. And let me read you verse number 12. And to verse number 15, and just note it with your eyes, I'll read it to you. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil man and seducer shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Talking about influencers, okay? Now here we find verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing on whom thou hast learned them. There's other godly influencers. There's an attack on our children. There's people and ideas and organizations that are waging a war on Bible influence to any generation, any age, but especially our children. They want to get to our children because if they get them young, they get them for a long time. And so parents, we have our work cut out for us. There is a battle that we have to wage. It might not be with swords, it might not be with guns, but it is a spiritual battle and that we need to fight and we need to be aware of it and we need to be cautious and watchful, all right? Verse 15, and that from a child, all right? Thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ, all right? Let us pray as we continue this morning. Lord, we come. We're asking that you guide us, give us, Lord, understanding of the heart. Lord, that we would learn some of these principles from your word and that we would have wisdom and apply it in our lives. Lord, that it will be applicable very, very soon, especially some of us that are raising young children. Pray for our parents, our would-be grandparents to our children, help them as they could help us, partner with us to help raise this generation for you. Lord, bless us. In Jesus' name this morning, amen and amen. We saw three specific ways in our last lesson that God has given parents to influence their children. I'm going to make a short review. Number one was influence through the scripture. Influence through the scripture. We find verse 15 here that Timothy as a young child has known the Holy Scripture. That was not accidental. That was not accidental. Somebody did a purposely good job of influencing Timothy when he was young with the scripture. The scripture was in Timothy's life from a child. And so I ask, if you have children, get the Bible to them soon and quickly. Soon and quickly, all right? Don't waste time. Well, they're little kids. Read the Bible to them. Whether they understand it or don't understand it, read the Bible to them. Let them listen to Bible story. There's so many different avenues that we can have it even exciting at times and fun. Although I caution you about all of those, because sometimes the diet you give your children is what they're going to look for. If you give them a diet for excitement and fun and everything has to be, whoa, then you have to have that for the rest of their life. All right, start them out slow. Read them the Bible yourself. That's easy. All right, instead of you dramatizing it, if you want to, you can. All right, dramatize it if you want to. But that's my personal opinion on some of that things. If you get them with lights and flashes and noise, then you have to keep that up. You have to keep that up. Whatever you get people is how you keep them. Whatever you get them with is how you keep them. If a church decides to have meals upon meals upon meals, and that's how we get people here, guess what? They're not going to stay if we don't have meals and meals and meals and more meals. All right, side note. That's pastoral stuff. Anyways, moving on. Your influence to your child through the scripture needs to be intentional, all right? And it has to be provided time, because we're limited with time. We're a creature of time. We're not outside time. We work with time. It gets dark. Our bodies has time clocks. It tells you, you're tired, go to bed, all right? And so you have to intentionally create time for you to teach your children the Bible, all right? You have to provide time for that, all right? Have them planned, all right? And we call it a family devotion. You can call it a family altar. You can call it Bible time, whatever you want to call it. Get the Bible to them on a regular basis. Get them the Bible on a regular basis, all right? All right, and what's another thing? Why are you giving them a gospel? Because the gospel, why are you giving them the Bible? Is because you want them to know Bible commands and Bible principles so that they can understand why you have Bible standards. And then someday, as they grow into maturity, they will learn to have Bible commands in their mind, Bible principles, and they develop Bible standards out of those things, okay? Biblical principles and the explanation of the Bible basis for those guidelines to your children. Why do you guys not watch that show? Teach your children the why you don't watch a particular show. Teach your children why you don't listen to a particular style of music. Teach your children why you don't participate in a particular activity. We don't participate in Halloween. Guess what? Our children ask us why. Why is there wrong with dressing up like a princess and dressing up like cartoon characters and getting candy for free? What's the problem with that, Mom? What's the problem with that? Well, parents that have raised children, I'm sure you have different standards on those things. I don't have my problem, my kids dressing up, except that if they wear that thing all the time, they need to wash it once in a while. Philip is wearing Woody outfit a lot, too much, and that needs to be taken care of. But at any rate, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But why do we not celebrate Halloween? What's the reason behind that? Why do we have come up with that standard that in our home we don't do that? Right? Why we don't have skulls? Why don't we have no jack-o'-lanterns? There's something wrong. Well, you have to tell them. You have to explain that to them. Guess when you do that? Whenever that happens. You have to have the time. You have to have the time to get into the scripture and explain to them Bible truths so that they can come up with that same idea. Now, number two, influence through the scripture. Scriptures is very vital. Number two, influence through salvation. And now, this is very clear, especially in our church here, where we encourage salvation almost at every service, all right? Each person must choose for himself to trust Christ as Savior. Nobody gets saved as Moses, all right? Everybody gets saved consciously knowing they are a sinner. There's a penalty for sin is death, and death and hell in Revelation is cast into the lake of fire. But Jesus came. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. All right, and there we find that Jesus comes and gives us a free gift. He was our substitute. He died in our place. He who knew no sin became sin for us. That we that was unrighteous can be made the righteousness of God in him, all right? I butchered that a little bit, but you know the verse, all right? Now, here's the next thought. What is salvation? You get them the gospel. We talked about six different principles to keep it simple, keep it under, and those things. I don't have time to review those. But as, from influencing them through salvation, the next thing is, in our day and age, when we get saved, what happens to us? The Holy Ghost comes in and dwells us. Explain that to your children. Well, that's difficult, Pastor. Figure it out. It's important. It's so important, you need to figure it out. How to explain to them that the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of them, the Spirit of the Almighty lives inside of them, that wills in them to do of His good pleasure, that produces in them the fruit of the Spirit. That's why they can love, they can have peace, they can be long-suffering, they can be gentle, they can have meekness, they can execute faith because of the Holy Ghost in their life. Explain it to them the best way you know how. Find tools. Ask, not me, ask my wife. Ask somebody that knows. I'm just telling you, I struggle with that. How are you going to explain that truth? It's very difficult, all right? Find a way. There's so YouTube. There's some good Christian YouTube object lessons that I've used during the COVID times teaching. Find some tool to get them to know what in the world is the Holy Ghost. Who is He? He's so powerful. And He can help them do right, all right, in their life, all right? So that's number two. Number three, we find influence through godly spirit, all right? In Scripture, salvation is alliterated for us. Brother Chapel does that, all right? It all starts with S, Scripture, salvation, good spirit, all right? Your spirit has an even greater influence on your child than your words. Sad to say, that's so true. That is so true. It's sad to say because I need to work on my spirit. If you have a wonderful spirit, you're just so godly, and you have it all together. Praise the Lord, you should be very happy if you're raising children. But if you get mad like us and you get irritated and you have a little flesh that lives with you, this is sad. This is so sad. It is so convicting. So convicting, right? When you tell your kids, what's your attitude? And then you tell them, and the little one will say, be nice, Daddy, be nice. Like, oh. All right, I'm not conveying this right. Right? Have a good spirit, right? Your spirit has a powerful influence more than your words. Your attitude and demeanor are constantly training and influencing your children. Even if you're not paying attention, you're on a phone call with that insurance company, you are influencing your children on how you respond. They can tell, like little kids. My dog can tell. Can somebody give me some water, please? Just a cup, any water would do. Thank you. Oh, it's dry here for some reason. But talking too much. Even my dog knows by my demeanor, by my look, by the way I present myself, if that dog is in trouble or not trouble. If a dog can understand, your children is better than a dog. And they understand when you walk into that door, if you're stressed, if you're mad about something, or you're preoccupied. A lot of times when you come home, you know this, if you work and your children haven't seen you and you come home, they are going to tell you one of the most important things that happened to them that day and how you're going to respond to that. I haven't responded like I should all the time. I don't stop what I'm doing. I don't take off all of that baggage and rip it out and just say, let it just go out there on the garage. I'll come back to the garage later and leave it out there. Whatever how you get into your house. Leave it out there. And then focus on those children. Because it could be what would save them when they're 20 years old. It could be what would save them when they're 16. They know that I can talk to dad. They know they can bring up something important to my dad. All right? And if anything, at any rate, thank you, sir. At any rate, you know, thank you. At any rate, if you could just work on the fact that your children can talk to you, it would be something so helpful, that they don't live isolated lives when they're teenagers at your home. You wouldn't want children at your home. You can feel the tension between you and them and have nothing to do with you. They're living there just because. As soon as they're ready, they are going to get out of there. You don't want that. You don't want that. And it's your job as a parent to make sure that there's a line of communication. Now, do you like what they're going to say all the time? No. Do you like what kind of spirit they have all the time? No. Do you like the mindset that they have? No. But you have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. Leave the line of communication open to them. And your attitude can say, welcome. Or your attitude says, do not disturb, ever. Your attitude, listen, parents, grandparents, your attitude, without you even opening up your mouth, can understand. My dog don't understand what I'm saying. But as soon as I walk in, if that dog has done something wrong, I don't even have to say, that dog knows. It cowers and it goes as low as it possibly can because he just went to the restroom and ate all of the tissue. It knows. But if that dog has done nothing wrong, when I come in, it'll jump on you. Well, we train it not to. But it'll come to you excited and shaking itself almost like, man, if I did that, I would lose a lot of weight. But it would come to you with such excitement because it's so happy you're home. I noticed that with my children as well. All right? If they did something wrong, they're kind of quietish. They don't want to say anything to you. They know that there's some rules implemented and you're going to follow through. And so they're not going to want to talk to you at that point. But that's the time you can execute some kindness and mercy and grace and talk to them and say, it seems like you did something wrong. What is it? All right, but if your demeanor is, don't bother me. Leave me alone. I got things to do. Well, your kids are going to notice that. Your kids are going to notice that. All right? So let's go on now. There's 2 points in this lesson. First of all, influence through a godly environment. Influence through a godly environment, all right? I'm not going to show you the picture because I have some discrepancy online when I looked it up. So I'm unsure. I'm not going to show you that next slide. But we use it today. It says there's some symbols we use to represent us. And one of the symbols we use, not necessarily as independent Baptists. I don't feel like we use this as independent Baptists. But most evangelical Christians use the symbol of the fish, right? And you see the fish. You have an inkling on a car or on somebody's clothing. They probably are a Christian of some sort, correct? And so back in the day in Ephesus, they used to have symbols like that they use. And they engraved them in the front doorstep or they put them on the doorpost of their house, signifying to everybody around them they're a Christian. Because Ephesus was a pagan world, all right? And they believed in many different weird things. And what that signifies to the rest of the neighborhood, to let them know that this family here in particular believes in Jesus Christ from such thing as that, okay? So that's what they were doing. The Christian Ephesus used it to announce to others in that pagan city, we believe that Jesus Christ is God and he is our Savior. It must have had an impact on the children in that home as well, all right? The children, obviously the parents decided to do that. The children did not. It was a silent reminder to the children of that home that their parents had chosen to follow Christ. And at times in society back in the day, and in some countries today, when you do that, you are saying to the people, come and get me. And at times it's a danger to your life. But we find here that not only did the parents, by doing that, let the world outside of the home know we're a Christian, but in influence, they also let everybody know inside the home, hey guys, we're a Christian. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The environment you allow to surround your children will play a huge role in shaping what they will be like. All right? The environment you allow to surround your children will play a huge role in shaping what they will be like. So parents, we need to be intentional about the surroundings that we allow in our home. All right? And not just the surroundings, but the people that make up that surroundings, we need to be careful and watchful of who spends time with our children, who influences our children in the home, outside the home, wherever our children live and walk. School, and so on. And some of you probably have children that lived in your house and they had a job, all right? At that point, maybe you treat them a little bit more than an adult. But at times, I remember in high school, I had a job, and I was not technically an adult. I was not on my own. I just had a job. So guess what? My parents took active role in influencing me and making sure that my job environment was acceptable. I was working at the right place, all right? It was not until I went to college, and even in college, that was their probably last influence and say, okay, you sure you're going over there? You're going to Texas? Okay. And I think one of my parents, it wasn't my mom, went with me, and we took a trip, and we took a New York vehicle. Never do that. No, never take a New York vehicle with no air conditioning to go to Texas. Never. Never in a million years do that ever again. We had overheated, and we overheated in the car. I-35, starting when you get into Dallas, all the way to Austin, Texas, is traffic. Traffic. And the time it takes you from Dallas all the way to Austin, if it was 70 miles an hour, as according to their speed limit, will take you at least 5 hours. It didn't take us 5 hours. It took us more than that on an un-air-conditioning car. And we went in July of all time. It was the funnest time to do it. And so we did. And the people felt for us, you know. They said, you guys are not from around here. What told you that? Yeah, it was fun. But that was the last probably great influence they had in that, in the sense of they were the parent that had complete say on some things. After that, it changed, right? Their advisory at that point. Okay? And so think about that. Your authority that you have now in your little children will not always be like that. And if you treat your adult children that way, you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems, all right? There's a change that will happen when they become mature and adult, okay? It's a different parenting style, all right? The environment is important. Spend time paying attention to what's going on around them and who is influencing them. But your environment isn't just the people and the places you surround yourself with. It's everything about your surroundings, all right? Are your children surrounded by order or disorder? Principles, mindsets, character, all right, all of those things. Are they surrounded by worldly entertainment or Christ-honoring worship? Your child's surrounding will teach him lessons that often have a stronger impression than those purposely thought. We talked about things, some things are taught and some things are caught. They catch it because it's around them. They watch it, all right, or they listen to it. They are influenced by it, all right? And so be careful with those. Some say this. Mother used to say this statement. A place for everything and everything in its place. Talking about, are they surrounded by order or disorder? I was taught this. A place for everything and everything in its place. All right? Your children need to have order in their surroundings. Look at letter A now. A biblical order. A biblical order. A biblical order. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. It's in your notes there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as is in all the churches, all right, of the saints. And 1 Corinthians 14:40 goes on later on and says this phrase that we all know about. Let all things be done. Let your parenting, let the surrounding of your children, let all things be done decently and in order. We are created by a God of order. You are orderly. You function properly. If you're healthy today, your body functions properly. All right? It is synced to one another. All the systems are synced to one another. Your respiratory, your circulatory, all of it are synced together to work properly. All right? God has designed it that way. It's an order. Orbit of the earth to the sun and so far the distance. You know it all. Ask Brother Kelly Dye. All right? And those that know those things, what I'm saying to you is, you can obviously see in creation and in you yourself, God did it on purpose. And there's an order to it, okay? There's an order to it. Let all things be done decently in order. As we strive to maintain a home that points our children toward Christ, we must not forget that order is a biblical principle. It's a biblical principle. You find order throughout the scripture. So here's some worth noting. Three things. It's not in your notes if you want to write it down. Notice three ways that you can provide order in your home. And again, I'm telling you before, some of this are opinions and some of this are a personal look at some of these things. But you can understand, as I read it to you, you'll understand what we're trying to say. Number one, cleanliness. Cleanliness. Good luck. Cleanliness. Some of you smiled. And then Brother Chappell is very balanced here. I'll read it to you. Okay? It's not Pastor Chris. It's OCD mess. It's good. Constant disorder tends to bring unrest to children's heart. Of course, homes that are lived in cannot constantly be spotless. But there is a difference between a home that has a general atmosphere of cleanliness and orderliness and a home with overflowing laundry piles in every room. The cat litter perpetually spills. Just don't have a cat. You don't even have to worry about a litter. And dishes that are never washed. If you're a parent of toddlers, or especially special needs children, all right, please don't be too hard on yourself here, all right? There's some understanding, obviously. But also recognize that getting a system of orderliness down is good for you and for your children. You don't need to be able to eat off the kitchen floor, but you should be able to eat from the plates. Another aspect to orderliness is teaching your children to pick up after themselves and to keep their rooms clean. They might not do a good job of it at the beginning, but let them learn responsibility in picking up after themselves. All right? This will be easier to accomplish if the general areas of your home are kept tidy. Even toddlers can be taught to make their beds and pick up their toys. As your children grow, having a clean room can be a prerequisite for various privileges. All right? And so that's what we do in our home typically. You can't play the switch. You can't watch a TV. Is your room's clean? And I don't go anymore because I told you I can't. My standard of, it's weird because of my OCD. My wife does it. And my wife does a good job of it. And I don't end up having kids that resent me, all right? And they have a wife that's a little bit more balanced in that area, and she would go and do that. And I would just trust them, and I just let them know, and it saves my spirit, and it'll save my Christianity. Do not let me see your room. Close the door. Close the door, please. Close the door. And in my mind, that's a place I don't have to darken. Unless I have to, obviously, I have to, all right? So, number two, schedule. Schedule. Number two, schedule. Number one, cleanliness. Number two, schedule. Another form of orderliness is a schedule. Not a regiment in which every second is planned and accounted for, but simply that you have a plan and purpose for each day. I say this to people that are retired, and you know what I mean by this. I advise them, get a schedule. Do something purposefully every day. Just because you are done with work, it doesn't mean life ends. You have a body, and it needs help. And so you need to get up at the same time if you can, or do something, because if you don't, you will lack purpose. And people that have no purpose have a bad life. You notice that? People that live day to day with no purpose have a bad spirit and a bad emotion. All right? Get a purpose. Get a purpose. I have something to do today. I have to get up today because I have something to do. I need to darken the greens of the golf courses. I have to do that. I'm going to enjoy it. That's what I'm going to do when I retire. So I have a year right in. Pastor Cole just, he upped it. He said 25, and I learned he said 35. And so he's upping it. He knows I'm golfing. No, just kidding. Somebody bought me a golf club, so I wasn't nice. But anyways, besides the point, anyway, I said that. It's been beautiful lately. All right. Unplanned days lead to unfocused lives. Unplanned days lead to unfocused lives. Speaking of Pastor Cole, that's why he's not stopping in his ministry. He's still got things to do. He's retired from being a senior pastor, but he's got other things he's doing. And so you, when you stop doing something, find something else to do, all right? Do not lose the purpose. And schedule helps you do that, all right? Consider the tides of the ocean, the sunrises and sunsets, the changing of the seasons. If you live by the ocean, you know what I mean by this. Living in the Philippines gives us a great understanding of it. We see this every day. God built rhythm and symmetry in our surroundings, and we're designed to thrive with schedule and order. Children likewise benefit from structure. Children likewise benefit from structure. Even toddlers can have a loose schedule that includes regular bedtimes, playtimes, nap times, and such. There's three categories to their day. What do they need to do? They need to go to bed on time. What do they need to do? They have a designated playtime. Not every moment of the day is playtime. And they have a designated place to nap. Obviously, they need to go to the bathroom, so put that in there. And they need to eat, put that in there. And you have Bible devotion with them, put that in there. All right? Put that in there. Very simple. Don't be rigid about it, but have some schedule, all right? Unplanned days lead to unfocused lives. Help your children develop a sense of purpose by providing the structure of a schedule. Number three, decorations. I'm saying to you again, this is some of his input, some of his personal input. One is cleanliness. Number two, schedule. Number three is decoration. In the previous lesson, we discussed the need to include scripture verses, biblical references, and truths that remind your children of God's word as in an integral part, all right, of the decor all throughout your home. We have verses at home, although one of our little ones, I think it was Mariah, have gotten a hold of it. We have the ones that are beautiful framed, and it has different letterings, and my wife would change it. Depends on what I need for the time, because at home, my wife is the preacher. It's a joke, obviously. My kid says, Dad preaches at church, but Mom preaches at home. And man, she does. She does a very good job of it. So I let her have it at home, you know? And she would have verses in there that I guess those are memory verse or those are keynote verses that we have to pay attention to because she's going to tell us sometime throughout the day what those things mean, all right? And so it was fun, something that we enjoy doing. But the little kid destroyed it, and so we need to find another one of those. But anyways, have the Bible, have some pictures of maybe David. I don't know, where would you put that in the bathroom? I don't know what you want to do, but this is an opinion. And you can have it, all right? Above all, make sure that your decorations are godly, not just in what they are, all right, but what they are not, but what they are, all right? You're going to put pictures anyways, and you're going to decorate your home with a bunch of different things anyways. Why not use it to influence your children? Why not influence it for your children? You know, people, the best signs are in the bathrooms. Have you ever gone to any public restaurants? If it's got any, the person has any kind of sense of decoration, they have some witty sayings about using the bathroom. Instead of being mean about it, they have ways to say, hey, get it in the hole, you know, and all of that stuff. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to be very, very, very professional here. So I'm not going to say anything. But I've seen some really interesting signs in bathrooms trying to cause us to have good habits. Trying to cause us to have good habits. So it's beautiful, it's nice, but it has a purpose. So why not use scripture, use something that will remind your children of God by applying it to your decoration. That's a good idea. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be something you do, but something to think about, all right? Now, letter B, moving on quickly here. Letter B, should we start this or should I not? Let's not. Because then I'll be out of time. I'm perfect on time and have a missionary today. So we're going to stop at this point. But letter B, if you want to write it down, biblical music. Music is a part of our surrounding. You go to an elevator, there's music. You go to a restaurant to eat, there's music. What kind of restaurants have different kinds of music? There's mood music. You go to a spa somewhere, it's going to have a different kind of music. You go to a waiting room, It's got different kinds of music, all right? It's innate in us to have it in our surroundings. And music play a vital part in influencing our children. What a power the medium of music is. What power it has, all right? And so we're going to talk about that. I don't want to shortchange it. Our time has expired, so we're going to deal with it next Sunday. Nope, I can't do it next Sunday. I'll do it next time, all right? Like I said, there's a whole lot of people coming through us, coming through our church this month. Well, let's pray, and we'll continue. We'll get to meet and get to know what's going on there in PNG with Brother Wilson, all right? Make acquaintance with Mrs. Holman and the Wilson. Let them know you've been praying for them, and get to know them, all right? We have 15 minutes before the next service. I'll pray, and we'll be done. Lord, bless us. Help our influence. How powerful it is as parents. And Lord, as we dive in to other things, Lord, give us wisdom. Help us to have some things in order in our life. Lord, give us the balance. Help us not to have false balance. Help us to have the right balance of order in our home. Lord, help us as we think of music the next time we meet. Lord, give us a mindset of what that is and how can that influence our children. There's some beautiful godly music and dramas that has influenced my life personally. And Lord, and I think it can influence my children, but there's some danger in it. Lord, help us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.